The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas, and welcome to another edition of Inside the Inner City at Bahamas on Guardian Radio every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232-325-4316 and 325-4259. It's a pleasure to be your host. My name is Valentino O'Brien, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scroogey, MP, JP. They call me so much names. It's just a pleasure to be a host on this wonderful Friday. And for you who are tuning in, I hope we do a wonderful job of talking about the topics that we need to talk about that is happening in our country. And the main concern, what is happening in the country, in the directory, what we're going to have to take in order to solve our country's problem when it comes to poverty, crime, white-collar crime, immigration, empowerment, church. We are here just to give our opinion, but mostly we don't do a lot. We do a lot of talking, but we also put in the work. So we're not just talking on the airwaves. You know, I'm one who does more than I talk, but I'm talking so that others can be inspired to do great things in their community. I'm talking also to expose the wrong that is happening in our country. And unless we correct it, we continue to go down this spin forward where we continue to have matters bigger than the United States of America. You know, like we have so much matters or problems more than America. And we're just a 21/7, 7 in Ireland, 7 in the Keys, one of the richest countries in the Western Hemisphere. So we call ourselves a Christian nation, but in all of these plagues that are plaguing our country, we really have to take a look at what we do call ourselves and try to see how we can really apply what we supposed to call ourselves. And that means doing unto others as we have others do unto us. On today's show, we're going to talk a little bit of cost of living. We're going to talk about the Prime Minister's comment. We're going to talk with Rupert Roberts, talking about the food. We're going to talk about what Sir Frankie Wilson has to say about the family structure, which he talked about. The universities came up with a study, you know, and et cetera, et cetera. But for many years, I've already told the general public that as long as the family structure continues to diminish in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, we're going to see the complete meltdown of the country. We're going to lose ourselves within. We're going to destroy ourselves within. You know, all great nations, when they lose their way, and when I mean lose their way, they forget about the least amongst them. They become lovers of themselves and lovers of their parties, and they separate themselves, and they use the lesser individuals in the country to gain power. And when they get this power, they get a little bit of breadcrumbs. And and all, it leaves us who getting the bread comes to start to fight against one another in the communities and the country. And then eventually we lose our identity where we don't have morals no more because we are in survival mode. And honestly speaking, most Bahamians are in survival mode right now in the combat of the Bahamas. Okay, before I begin the show, I want to just remind the general public tomorrow, Saturday, that Mark Turnquest, he was on the show last week, and he's having a seminar on how to help you set up your business plans and also to help you get your business license. He's going to do the procedures. So I'm encouraging you guys to go check it out at the Cancer Society of the Bahamas. It starts at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Tomorrow at the Cancer Society. Yeah, Mark Turnquest. Okay, that's ZNS. Before you get to ZNS, it's the white building on the corner. I think you go upstairs. Okay. And you could ask for Mark Turnquest. I also would be in attendance because I'm getting my business license sorted out for my restaurant, bar, and a convenience store that I'm opening personally for myself so that I can have a regular income and then help others. You know, that's the key, you know. We got to be able to see how we can help others. But before you got to also help yourself. So, you know, I would encourage most people to go and see how you can set yourself up in a business atmosphere. It don't want to be Mr. Turnquest, but anyway, it's tomorrow. Our location, Cancer Society of the Bahamas, next to ZNS, Centerville. Okay? Starts at 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. 3 p.m. He said if you don't have the funds, you could always pay at a later date. He just want to get as much people involved as possible to see that success in the near future. Okay? Special request goes out to two of my listeners, who listened to the show earlier today. A gentleman stopped by as I was standing up in the road, and he was telling me how his wife listened to the show every Friday, and that they like how I talk about topics that are actually Bahamian topics, and they appreciate what I'm doing on the radio. And I just want to give them a shout out. I have his name and his wife named Rachel. Just give me 1 second. All right. Should I come up right now? Got it, Rachel. And yeah, there's a lot of people out there who are thanking me for what I'm doing in the country and on the airwaves for actually bringing some truth. They say I'm not afraid to talk about the problems that most people would not talk about. And these are things that have been going on in our country for a long, long time. So it's not the fact that, you know, I'm outspoken. It's the fact that I see that if you don't talk about certain things, what most people are afraid to talk about, the topics could never come up. And then you won't be able to reach the minds of individuals in the country so that they themselves can see that, hey, you know, we can be the change. You know, what these individuals are talking about are actually true, you know, and it makes you think and wonder. But that's all about, you know, because the only thing I want to see in this country is a better Bahamas. You know, right now, the Bahamas is a sick place, you know. So I want to give a special thanks and happy birthday to Bridgette Taylor and Mr. Kennedy Taylor. Mr. Kennedy is celebrating his 59th birthday today, so I want to congratulate you. I seen a 59th birthday. You and your wife, I think, is going out tonight. And I think y'all should have a wonderful time. Go to fish fry, get some nice food. It's a beautiful atmosphere. And enjoy yourself there, too. Person who listened to the show. And like I said, the husband passed earlier today. Wise, I was standing up on the street of Lewis Street. And he told me that his wife loved to listen to me on Friday. And he also listens on Friday. And that the topics, you know, are very touching. And very important to the country. And I just want to say thanks to each and every one of you, as well as the Taylors. Okay, so Kennedy Taylor, enjoy your 59th birthday. And to your wife, Bridgette Taylor, take good care of your husband tonight. Make sure he don't drink too much, okay? Because I know how wives go, when they take their husband out, they really, really take care and treat their husband good on a special night like that. So enjoy. Okay. Like I said, we're going to talk about cost of living, a lot of stuff else we're going to talk about. So before we begin the show, I'm going to ask Chris, the producer in studio, if he could play a clip from Sir Frankie Wilson. And then we're going to start the show off on this clip, if it's possible. Can we play it, Chris?
Well, local businessman Sir Franklin Wilson also lending his thoughts to the national conversation tonight that stemmed from a University of the Bahamas study, which revealed that a middle-class family of four in the country needs more than $10,000 monthly to maintain a basic middle-class lifestyle. Wilson notes that a major point that could be gleaned from the study is what appears to be a declining traditional family structure in today's society. As far as Wilson is concerned, he says, that plays a major role in the stability of any household.
The study was predicated on a construct. A husband, a wife, and two children. How common is that in the Bahamas? I think I give you as press people an opportunity to consider that. So if, as I suspect you might agree, that's a very small set of people. That's a very small set of people and declining. And so to me, if she is right, a major takeaway from her study is to tell the Bahamian people, we have to reconstruct that to make that concept of the family more common. And I tell you why I say it. The biggest challenge to getting to a middle-class living standard is family stability.
Well, the finding from that recently published study also revealed that housing is becoming for the middle class here in New Providence. According to the study, persons living a middle-class lifestyle depend a greater percentage of their funds on housing than members of the working class. Wilson maintains that a stable household could be the difference for those in the buyer's market.
Family instability is central. See, the family instability, including two working people in the Bahamas still, despite escalating circumstances, by and large, two people, both working in the Bahamas, cooperating one with the other, making sensible decisions, can get a house. That's my bottom line.
Well, you know, I've been saying it for years because I've come from that. You know, I didn't have a mom and father structure. Thousands of other kids, you know, had a mom and father structure in the country. And I've been saying all along, I've been using the airwaves to preach this to the powers to be, the excessive governments. I've sat down with at the table knowing this was the problem. Now you're hearing people in high society saying it. A study just came out over 2 weeks ago. I've been saying this study for over 20 years because I've seen this happen over and over in the breakdown of the homes that are in inner city communities around National Providence. Okay? This study came up and they said that, middle class needs at least 10,000, you know, with a family of four to survive on a monthly basis in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Why is that so? Because we also want the riches, but we also import 90% of our food products in the country. We don't produce basically nothing. And some of the stuff we are buying back, like the salt, is actually our own salt that is bred, manufactured, shipped off, like the salt, molten salt. I don't think it's still there no more. But, and then you see it in the super value. Some of our conch, we ship out. And then, you know, it come back to the mamas as conch all over the world, you know. So for me, hearing that, I've always known that the family structure is key. And if we don't empower this generation and try to reestablish the family life in the country, and like I say, you know, middle class is non-existent in the country right now. You know, because that statistic is completely wrong as well, because there's basically no more middle class in this country no more. Because that declined what, 20 years ago. You know, I'd just like to congratulate President Donald Trump on winning the election on some things, you know, that he could make mandate, like one. The United States of America only recognizing one gender, and that's man and woman. He also talked about bringing companies, car companies back to United States of America. There were factories that are being built in Mexico. He let them know that you can still build your car factory in Mexico, but bringing them to the U.S. is going to cost you $300. Means he's going to charge you a high price. But if you decide to come and build your car company in America, he'll charge you 15% as long as you hire American workers. He also said that, you know, if anyone tries to talk about transgender or et cetera in schools that or at the workplace, try to enforce that kind of what the previous administration, the Biden administration, was trying to establish around the world, he said that's not going to happen. So he's recognizing only male and female. You know, so he's making some good valid points. He's standing up for what's right in the world. He's talking about abortion too. You know, you could see he's also taking the chlorine out, the fluoride out the water. Donald Trump now is taking fluoride out of the water. This is on the news last night. I was watching on the news last night. Why is the president of the United States is taking fluoride out the water? Because the fluoride was poisoning people. You see when government change, sometimes you get to find out some things that people say conspiracy theory. But read between the lines, these things are actually happening. You get some people who have this ideology that they want to depopulize the world. And then you have some people who are fighting against it. They could be a part of the organization, but they don't agree on everything that you want to do to the world. They would fight back in their own organization. That's what Donald Trump is doing. So he makes some very valid points. So before we go any further, I'm going to take this one call, and then I'm going to continue the conversation. Go ahead, caller.
A godly day to sit back and waste along with you, Scooch. Raymond here.
Go ahead.
Scooch, I listen to you, right? You on track, but there are some situations in which you not are dealing with.
And
the thing is, you know about around here, where we are. You know Mason's tradition. You know Lewis Street. You know the area, right? And the way the areas are being dealt with nowadays is not a clean situation, if you understand what I'm saying.
Go ahead, sir.
You know the area. My point is, you know, you don't big up places what are already big up whereby the people has all the money and has control. They're harnessing you. Deal with situation in which needs to be dealt with. You know what I'm saying? Like I've said, you know the area.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis Street area. You know Mason's Edition area.
Yes,
you
sir.
Know the Fort Hill.
Uh-huh.
And you have the mic. And the mic reach a lot of places.
Yes, sir.
You know, you have the prerogative to do the right thing.
Now, what you mean the right thing?
Your country, the Bahamas.
What is the right thing?
Like I've said, you know the area and you know what's happening in the areas.
And I'm trying to get a point of what you're trying to actually say, like what you want me to do.
You know what to do?
Mm-hmm.
Walk around and see what's happening.
Walk around.
People know you, yeah. The people acquainted with you.
Uh-huh.
See what's happening and see if it was like that, say, years ago.
No, it wasn't like that 30 years ago.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, go ahead. Let me finish. Go ahead.
It needs to be cleaned up. Make it simple. And we are better than that.
Okay.
Better than what it is today. We are better. We might not have much, but we had cleanliness when we were children. And you just express it. And don't be afraid to express it. Because right now, the whole situation is nasty. And a lot of people are being harnessed. So if we don't stand up for something, you're going to stay that way.
Mm. Okay, thank you. Yeah, I hear Bremen. Bremen say walk around. Well, I've been walking around there for I'm 50 years of age, and for the last 30 years, I've been giving back. I've been cleaning up the community going on 20 years, okay? And I'm still cleaning up the community. He's saying walk around. If you walk in the community right now, you would see a Bahamas Waste bin that is being paid for by my private sponsors. That is free for the community residents. Just put every cornered from Lewis Street to Taylor Street, I've been helped clean up the community freely. So a lot of garbage are being removed from the community that I reside in. There's filth in Mason Addition. I'm hoping that people ought to be encouraged to stop the guys who would go and move garbage from one yard that someone, a neighbor, would give to a guy on drugs to take the garbage that they build up in their yard to go and dump it down the road there in the next yard. Bremen is making some valid points. But see, I'm not a talker. Okay? I'm a doer. And I know all that. Government has to step in because I've had problems over and over cleaning up the community over and over. I cleaned some yards up 4 or 5 times, come back again, got the yard full of garbage again. But now people are starting to get it in their brains in the community now because they see I'm concerned about the community, you know. I'm not a politician. I'm only a young guy, and I'm a poor young guy, but just blessed that I was able to make some connections through Rotary Club of East Nassau, and I was able to meet some bigger set of people in the country. And instead of me asking for money, I was asking them how they could help. So I know that there's a garbage problem in our community, so I have Bahamas Waste, who is my partners, and a private sponsor who's paying that to come deliver bin every week, and we've been continue to remove garbage out of my community freely. In fact, if you look at the bills, it'll run over $90,000 to $100,000. Honestly speaking, money I could have used to help finish my restaurant. But no, I don't do that. I said that I was given a task, and I'm going to make sure that I continue to clean up the community because I'm a paying the community for the tourism industry. So yes, Bremen, you're right. But Bahamians need to be encouraged. Neighbors need to be encouraged to stop the dumping of garbage. You know, what the government doing now in Angleston is a prime example of what I've been doing in Grunstown for over 20 years. What the Prime Minister and his entourage are doing in Angleston Garden are being doing in the Grunstown community that where I reside in, with the connection I've made with God, which God have blessed me with. And I've taken that knowledge and apply it and making some small but big things happen in my community. We're going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, good day, first time caller. Scrooge?
Yes, sir. Good night to you.
Yeah, I was going to call before Bremen call, and I thought he switched the subject, but he is actually on the right path. I have a question. Which industries in this system that we are supporting do not exploit one another? Like, which professions can we pretty much as a community form and organize where we don't exploit one another? And I'll explain what I mean.
Go ahead.
So you have the cashier making minimum wage.
Yes, sir.
And then you get the supervisor making about $100 more, and then the manager making about $200 more.
Mm.
And, you know, the system is that as it goes up, the less work you have, which is fine. But in this system that we have in the Bahamas,
yes,
you just said that 90% of earnings is imported.
Yes.
So it's going to be expensive.
Yes.
I don't mind the expense, but it's actually not doing us any good. It's worsening our health, not only physically, but mentally. This isn't like organic stuff that we import. These are from corporations from the U.S. mainly, and this is just junk food, you know, as it progressively goes on. But the point I'm trying to make is, that effect that's having on society is causing people to lose pride.
Yes.
You understand? It's yes. causing an effect where your spirit and your mind is becoming not even in this world.
You yes, just, yes, yes, yes.
You understand what I say,
yes,
right?
You're
so
right,
you,
you're right.
You drive around, and I mean, my family grew up through DeVoe Street, and I used to go to Our Lady's School. Mm-hmm. So I know what I'm talking about. I know the pride we had. They used to sweep the dirt.
Yes, yes.
And everywhere you go in this country, it was, you were proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
But now some, and then you wonder why people only take the main street, Bay Street and Shirley Street,
yes.
go home, go to work. It's because you can't even go to these places no more. Not because they're dangerous or whatever, you know. It's just because it hurts your heart.
Yeah, yeah.
The way that we have denigrated ourselves into it. But I wanted to ask the question because you...
No, you make some good sense. Go ahead.
Yeah, use the model wise word. I just want to know, because I think it's a solution. As men,
mm-hmm.
we are built to create solutions. We don't
yes.
talk much.
Yes, sir.
We action men, as men. We are action human beings. So I really want to know which industries, because we can start right now. We can start right now. Which industries can we form? I have a few, fishing, farming.
Yes.
Where everybody could do their fair share. The government could start giving out some crown grant land. They are now, but start putting some pressure on it and start giving leasing boats and stuff like that, giving incentives for gas, and start parking companies so we can start exporting some stuff. We are not never going to have enough things to sustain the country. We can't grow enough fruit. We can't fish enough.
That's true.
Maybe we can, maybe we can't. But let's give each other a chance to get our pride back.
Yes.
So when these kids grow up, because guess what? If I walk out the door and my parents or my family tearing me down, I only going out in the world to tear down the world too.
You're correct.
I can't build up the world if I ain't getting built up inside.
Yes.
So just give each other a chance, Scrooge, because guess what? When me and you pass, if we get a chance to look down, we ain't gonna like what we're looking at.
No, we don't. So, we don't like what we're seeing right now.
Right now. So I mean, please, man. Like, you have a lot more influence than me and whoever listening to this.
Yeah.
Let's give each other a chance and start some industries.
Yes.
So we can stop the exploitation and get our pride back. Thank you for taking my call, man.
Thank you for calling. Gentleman made some good valid points there. You know, he talked about how our spirit is broken. Yes, that's why we had in the newspaper, the MP was stating that discouraged workers. You know, a lot of people don't even want to go look for work. It's because they're being discouraged because, you know, work is so hard to find. And then, like I say, with a high cost of living, you know, $260 is the minimum wage. You know, light bill could be $80. Water bill could be anywhere around the same thing. You're paying your food bill. You might have a car. You're paying gas bill. So that exceeds $260. And with this, you know, it is a mental breakdown for many at-risk families in the country. So what the caller is saying that, you know, I would want to clean up the yard. I would want to fix my house, but I don't have the funds. I don't have the endurance. There's no one encouraging me and giving me a guideline or helping me to start a business or to help uplift me. You know, I go to school, you know, going to school hungry. My shoes burst. You know, my parents ain't getting no money. My parents ain't to get up. Yeah, I call it. You're correct. And you said that an industry that we can go in. You name some of the industries right there, where we don't have to swindle the people. You talked about fishing and farming. And that's a major boost, you know, for small businesses to be established, you know, because we have the grouper season, we have the snapper season, we have the modern snapper seasons, you know, we have conch, you know. This is a big business, you know, and some of the family islanders, like in Spanish Well, they harvest these fish and conch and they ship these to the U.S., and they make thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. So if we can instill that inside the schools and inside our kids at a very young age, that this is a big money-making business and et cetera, so that we could let people get their self-esteem back up. A lot of people don't want disgruntled workers, or people don't even want to go work because of the frustration of going out there and just get turned around. You need this application. You need this police record. Everything, you got to go online. You know, and people don't really have the transportation to get to and fro. You know, when they do get a job, they're going to be late because they don't have the transportation. You know, so yes, it's so much factors playing with the with the cost of living. I didn't even get to start the topic yet. I got to get us, take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, good night, Scoogey. What's going on?
Yeah, good night.
Boy. Yeah, I didn't chime in for a couple of weeks, but you know, I'd be listening.
Yeah, go ahead, brother.
I'm kind of a little busy, but you know, the last caller was really, really, he needed calling more, right?
Yeah.
And so, I just like to piggyback something what he was saying, because I, for one, know that what he's saying is absolutely correct, and here's where I have the problem. Let's paint a scenario. This is hypothetical, right? Food is becoming rationed, or inflation, supply chain construct, right?
Yes, sir.
Disruption, corruption, right? You know why I say that, right? These things are intentional. So let's look at geopolitical or resources management and using our resources advantageously, right? As leverage, right? Against a scenario like that I just mentioned. So if we can't fish, and obviously I'm commenting on what he's saying as far as the government giving incentives to empower youth to go and do these things. He talked about canning foods. Mm-hmm. You know, on a trip to Bimini one time ago, some time back, a guy caught a fresh Jack Mackerel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And before we reached Bimini, he had made some steamed Jack Mackerel. And I didn't realize it tastes like better than the mackerel in the can.
Of course.
So it's fresh right there.
Of course, you get electrolytes in it.
See, the gentleman, the last caller, highlighted so many things
yes.
of great significance that all he do was expose the naivety and the non-clairvoyancy or the vision of all respect, because they don't realize the significance. They may say the significance of managing our resources as far as people coming in on mega yachts, whatever, et cetera, et cetera. They can use technology to see what they're doing as far as, you know, we know they come in and exploit our fisheries, right? So this is something that we have an advantage on, so we must try to protect as much as possible in case those particular global scenarios come into play. So we know that certain powerful nations, China has been doing some foolishness in the Pacific Ocean, raping the sea and carrying out invasive fishing procedures, right? Or methods, right?
Yeah.
This is known. This is on the internet now. So this is the age of enlightenment. So you don't come on the radio and say things that that's documented. You could go and see it.
Yeah.
It's on Vion, on wherever it is. It's all over the place, right? They don't care. No one will care about us because we must protect our own marine environment
yes.
and realize the advantage we have. So in short, right, Scoogey, the lack of vision by our leaders, and so when the gentleman said that, along with the degradation of the inner city, right, you know, he might be my age because he's saying we sweep the dirt. And, you know, the yard's always clean, even though
yeah.
the homestead had a little grass. It looks kind of different, but
yeah.
I try to put a little trees around. Your boy CA was here the other day, and, you know, I have a bunch of trees in the yard in the front of the shop, but I try to keep, like, a little horticultural skills going. But in the event that we have a failed but fresh produce supply, then we would depend on our fisheries. So these governments, respectively, are being so visionless that they can't see the importance of us protecting our marine environment. Tourists come in, everybody come and exploit, do this, do that, and then they just get away with whatever.
Hmm.
I mean, I don't know how you see it, Scoogey.
No, it's true. This is true.
And compared to our population and compared to our vast oceans, the area, right, square footage-wise, right, we should never be starving. But, I mean, you're supposed to need to trade. Then we can trade. Even if we go back to the old Bible days where you trade something for something.
That was the real money.
We're supposed to use our advantages to say, like, fish for oil,
yes.
fish for this, fish for that. Just like I had Maurice Strong on the oil for food scam yeah. with Iran and Iraq. You remember these things? It was good.
Yeah, but they were trading.
So people hate to believe this. Let's come more contemporary schools. You remember the pandemic? The sovereign assets for vaccines? You remember that, Scoogey?
Go ahead, brother.
You know what I'm saying? Sovereign assets for vaccines. That's what the pharmaceutical companies were doing to countries in Africa and Asia Minor. Mm. Okay? This has nothing to do with me. It's only on
no,
the world at one.
Yes.
Yeah, so bless up still. You know, we'll be up between a rock and a hard place. I'll finish listening, brother. Bless
okay,
up.
Thank yeah. you very much. Yeah. And the young gentleman is also talking about industries. There's many industries we need to develop in the country. For example, like the fishing industry. You know, he talked about going, 52 talked about guy catching mackerel, you know. And then he said, you know, if you think about it, that could be a canned mackerel factory, you know, with the latest and freshest mackerels. You know, we have stone crab at the Bahamas, you know. There's so much things that we see on National Geographic that is actually in Bahamian waters. You understand? So there's so much benefits in the marine life as far as saying what can we do to start some industries, you know? So there's so much we can do. So much we can do. And the caller's right, you know. And he said, he was saying something also about where we don't get corrupted. See, and again, if we form this organization, it's gonna be people who, you know, understand this is about country, not about you being a part of an organization, you being a part of the Catholic Church, or you being a part of the PRP, or a part of the FNM. No, you being a part of the Bahamas and being a part of the world, and understand that what is transpiring now and what we're trying to do is we're trying to uplift the country so that we don't have 100 murders per year where we are threatened. So we don't have hospital beds full because there's no more space. And the reason why, because our grandparents and ourselves are not eating healthy because we don't have the proper food to feed ourselves. And I'm talking about healthy food, you know, because we're getting certain meats that are being inseminated with growth hormones to keep up the demand for chickens, for the pork. So they're injecting these animals with certain growth hormones, which in turn, when we consume them, we also is getting these injections because the food you eat, you understand, dictates on how you turn out. Because the lion in Africa, you know, he don't eat the hyena. He's killed the hyena. I mean, he killed the elephant too. He killed the buffalo and he killed the giraffe. But he kills the hyena, but he don't eat the hyena. He kills the elephant and he kills the buffalo and he kills the giraffe and he kills the deer because when he eat them, he gets strong. If he eat the hyena, he gets weak because the hyena don't eat healthy. You understand? They're scavengers. You understand? And for them, even for the hyenas to get healthy and strong, they eat the healthy animals, the herbivores. The biggest and strongest set of animals and the most dangerous set of animals in Africa are the herbivores. Lion ain't the number one killer in Africa. The number one killer in Africa is the hippopotamus. You understand? Followed by the Cape buffalo. Lion is about fifth on the list of most dangerous animals in Africa. But lions are the smartest because they're not going to eat an animal that they're not going to get no nutrients from. The elephant eat the berries, the elephant eat the grass, the elephant eat the bananas, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera, and et cetera. So their metabolism is booming. They're healthy. So when the lion eats the juicy meat from the elephant, he gets all the nutrients, and he gets big and strong, and he lives long. Simple as that. And if we are not going to have industry of fruit and vegetables available to the Bahamian people, then we're going to stay in the position we're in as we speak. All right. That just was something that came up that I wanted to get you. Where was that now? I want to read something here concerning the housing pros, concerning the $10,000 that the University of the Bahamas came up with a study, and a lot of people respond. Rupert Roberts respond. The Prime Minister respond. The Honorable Prime Minister Brave Davis, and people are responding to him. You know, for me as an individual, and his response was like, you know, basically, you know, things are tough. You know, he's trying to say, you know, you as an individual, you know, you got to watch how you spend your money, you know, because you could be the problem. But the Prime Minister knows very well that the problem's been going on for 50 years of denial, where governments we elect for them to come up with strategic ideas and programs that can be beneficial to the citizens to help them uplift themselves so that they don't have to be in the position they in as we speak now. It's because of the political leaders themselves in understanding what they inherit. They inherit the voters to vote for them, and when they become the government or becomes the MP, their obligations are less. They're not too concerned about the Bahamian people no more. And the little talk, like what the prime minister just stated 2 weeks ago, is worse than concern about the directory of the party. Because right now, it only takes a spark to get a fire going. The opposition, Free National Movement, you know, I said that it looked like the PLP was going to win the election with a landslide. But lately, there have been talks and inner city community concerning in the talks that the prime minister is stressing. And there are some distasteful words that he said. Now, he might have said it in the right way, but for those who struggling and know the struggle and who being woken and whose parents have died, depending on these parties, you know, to them, this is a slap in their face. And this could be a turning point when it comes to the general election. You know, it looks like every time things are going a little good for the political party, sometimes it's good to keep your mouth closed because these start a chain reaction. You know, and people start to see that you're changing, that the party is changing, and look like, you know, you yourself want to be disconcerting about the needs and wants of the Bahamian people. Those words that you said, even though you were trying to explain yourself in a way like, you know, don't buy certain things because they're expensive or don't have the AC on, you know, at a specific time, or you know, limit your expenses. That is all true. But for a person who knows what is going on in the lives of the everyday Bahamian, okay, when you have the statistics, when you yourself just said that 90% of inmates have been abused as a child, okay? So all I'm going to say is that simple phrase like what the prime minister said last week was very distasteful in the eyes and the heads of the Bahamian people. Whether he meant it in a good way, something you just should not say, because it's like a slap in the face for those who depending on you and hoping that you could come up you and your government could come up with some strategic program that could actually change the directory on how we are living in the Bahamas. So I just wanted to rub it in. I just want to read something real quick. Frankie Wilson was talking earlier on your head clip. Now, his son is also in the newspaper, and I'm going to read what his son has to say. Okay, in the newspaper, this was in the Tribune. And it states, y'all, Frankie Wilson's son, who was the president of Awak Homes, he suggested adjusting the country's zoning restriction could help address the Bahamas' ongoing housing crisis. Now, you know, we have a housing crisis in the country where Bahamians themselves don't have a place to live, okay? If we don't have a plan to say each year as a government, we're going to try to see if we could build at least 200, 300 houses per year, looking to make 500 houses per year, right? If we don't have that in our manuscript every year, 500 houses, or it could be 1,000, because we have a slow-growing population. But nonetheless, we have a lot of people who have housing issues. Prime Minister needs to take a look. He needs to take a look at the social service records, and it shows you that there are people who are waiting in line for the social service to find a place for them to stay. And we had a lot of nose buzzing last week on a particular lady who had 6 children, who time expired, that the social service had given her to stay in a rented apartment or something like that. But there are so much other people in line for the occupancy that they had to remove her. So we have a housing problem in the country. And if we're not making up to 500 to 1,000 houses a year as a government and as a country, we ain't making no sense. But we need to understand too, Frankie Wilson's son, His name is Aaron Wilson. He also stated, let me just finish reading for you. Last week, Housing Minister Mr. Keith Bell revealed the country faces a shortage of more than 12,000 housing units. And that's what the statistics the housing minister is saying, right? Let me see. Okay, you're right. 12,000, right? But that's supposed to be triple. You understand? Because like I tell you, we need more than 12,000 homes. Okay, so let me finish reading. So 12,000 housing units. He cited a previous study recommending the construction of around 2,500. Oh, wow. Listen. The previous study recommending the construction of around 2,800 homes per year highlight the scale of the challenge in the in closing the housing gap. Now, I was just saying 500, 1,000. He is saying 2,800 is needed per year. So these are the kind of things that the government and the prime minister needs to see how they can come up with a strategic plan because, like I said, 2,600 homes a year. So if we do that in a five-year period, I think that should be substantial for the growth at that time, but you have to keep it up. So let me just finish reading. All right. One of the things I think that we really need to do, let me just read from page 5, 1 second. In Nassau, it's rezoned many communities. Currently, designated for single-family houses to allow for multiple family houses, Mr. Wilson said, He said, relaxing zoning laws would allow homeowners to expand their properties by adding one or two bedroom units, which could accommodate family members or be rented out. So he also talked about small business, like Graham said last week. So the reality is, and members of the parliament would see it, you go in the home and you see multiple generations living in the home, and while they could like to add on and give their own separate rooms, even if they live in the same yard, at the end of the day, everyone has their space. It cannot happen because the regulation says it can only be a single family home, he said. Mr. Wilson also noted that while the minister mentioned the 12,000 unit shortage, there aren't enough available lots to build that many homes. He stressed the rezoning could help evaluate this issue. These are two vital points, and he's correct. But we have the family island. We have these islands that has a lot of crown land, and if we were to build small businesses in these communities, we will buy the house, we will buy the training, make sure that the community has everything. It has its own hospital, not own clinic. It has its own business center. It has its own regulation, and et cetera. This can work, right? And he's also talking about there ain't no space. In the inner city community, we have a lot of abandoned houses. So my suggestion is this. Each MP that lives in these respective communities do a survey on their community. There are hundreds of houses in these inner city communities that are abandoned. Use your street captains. Use the information you can receive from the residents or who own it. See if the government can purchase it or a private company and make it available to a single parent home that is going to be established in that community. There are abandoned apartments in the inner city community that are run down, and you can find out who the property owner is, come to terms, and then you could build some units right there for residents. There are thousands of abandoned homes in the country. But the only problem is our MPs are not working as a team. See, this got to be a cohesive effort. Survey area, see how much abandoned houses, abandoned yards, and what can be turning into single homes and apartments can also be turning into businesses. So each MP, it has to start with the Prime Minister, has to make it a mandate to go and survey their community. It would take probably 2-3 months if you have the right team to survey each corner, find out where all the abandoned houses is, find out what needs to be pushed down, find out what government can buy, or come to agreement with the owners and say that we'd like to put a few houses here, and et cetera. So it takes a team. So on this, again, along with what the suggestion of Mr. Wilson is making, would be great for the Bahamas to solve our housing problem in the country. So I'm going to take this call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside the Inner City on Garden Radio.
President Leland, how are you?
I'm fine. Good night to you.
Yeah. What I found out about the government and the Bahamas in general, we don't know how to maintain nothing. Listen up. I have met a gentleman who's director manager for maintenance in Washington, and he told me this. And it always resonated with me. He said, look here, we have buildings 200 and 300 years old in Washington, and we maintain them, right? The Clarence AB in Berlin, the past post office, downtown radio, they want to break down those elaborated buildings. All of these could be maintained where you could put four people who need shelter in these places. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And just sounds of a minimal. You understand?
Yes, sir.
These things could work out easily, you know. Mm-hmm. If we only try, man.
Yes, sir.
Try. You know, it takes some. I mean, come on, man. That place that they break down downtown, going to the water bridge, some on the right hand side of Harper and Sun.
Yes, sir.
Or there could be housing for people. The Clarence A. Bielan, they could just renovate that, man. Put some apartments in there. The Rodney A. Bielan downtown, that could be housing for plenty of people. What a place name, Victoria Gardens. That could be for families. It was, I don't know. See, that's £800 gorilla. I don't have much sense. But what I see, these things come so simple to me. It's very simple.
Yes, sir.
Anything you see dilapidated,
yes,
and
sir,
you wanna demolish, try to think about getting some engineers to renovate it and give it to poor people, man. Hmm. That's all it is.
Yes, sir.
That's simple to me. But you know, I'm just £800 gorilla. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you very much. The gentleman talked with Victoria Garden. He talked about the maintenance of the buildings. He's talking like the maintenance of the public post office that got demolished a few months ago. Also Victoria Gardens, which is right on Shirley Street, adjacent to the post office. He also talking about the Clarence A. B. building that is also demolished. We just had a stadium built by the Chinese, I think, over 10 years ago. And we had to do some serious renovation where the government had to spend, I think, close to $1 million on renovation because of no maintenance. I think that's the biggest problem to our country in our country today, because we have these government buildings and community houses in the community. We started a program where we had monitors under the Progressive Liberal Party government, where we had the monitors, you know, the suggestion we give, would go around in the city community and they would make sure that the houses that were abandoned, did they register, that all abandoned cars that they see on the side of the road or where people fixing cars, they would record it, give this information to the Ministry of Health and work together to ensure a safe and clean Bahamas. Those persons who were being employed by government were working directly with community leaders who were pointing out the sore eyes in the community. So this is one of the reasons what's his name now? Sharon Wilson. What's his name now? Shannon? Name's after his father. Name after his father. Fanon. I think it's Fanon. Yeah. Fanon Wilson. He's making some valid points because he also talked about the fact about there ain't enough to properties to be able to build this 2,000 plus homes a year. And he's correct, but we do have the properties on the Family Island. We have them in Abaco. We have them in Freeport. We have them in all of the other Family Islands. So we could create small communities in the Bahamas. But the Bahamas don't need to be Nassau. No problems don't need to make need to be the number one focus. We got Andres, underdeveloped, biggest Caribbean island, this part of the Western Hemisphere, and one of the biggest in the world. Why not let's go and start to create cheap housing over there? Build a house for a family, three bedroom. You know. Charge them like $35,000 in a 15-year period payment plan, rent owned. Give people an opportunity with different location. You could have them in Cat Island. You could have them in Freeport. Let people have the option to pick. You know, as behemoths, and they might want to start fresh. So because Nassau is too overpopulated, and this could be one of the main reasons now why things are so tough in the country. What if we start to build subdivisions in Andres, Cat Island, Freeport, you know, the places where the land mass is vast? Could you imagine building 2,000 homes in Andres every year? Cat Island. And keep on expanding. But also make sure that you leave nature there. And then give options to the Bahamian people who are part of social service, who are looking for a home, to give them options to pick and say, you know what, we're going to charge you $35,000 in a 15-year period to pay off the mortgage. So it's something that is affordable to the family, and it would give them an opportunity to start a fresh, brand new life. Because, like I said, we have thousands of houses in these inner-city communities. If each member of parliament, especially the PLP, who are the government, of the country right now. If Jumbo Campbell was to look at Centerville and his team goes and surveyed the whole of Centerville, he would find that there's up to what, 500-600 homes that are abandoned. Some might need to be pushed on, but some can be refurnished, and government can buy some and take those and make them into some useful. What fits that characteristics of that community? You know, every abandoned house, every abandoned yard should be regarded and make it an initiative as to let's make something positive happen in these communities. So let me just read what's so Fanon Wilson was saying. Let me see. He also says, Mr. Wilson also noted that the rate of popularity of Airbnb and vacation rentals have accelerated the country's housing challenge by shifting many properties from long-term to short-term. So people start to say, you know, people to describe my place, so why not let me go in the A&B business? We get 9 million visitors coming to our shores. So let me take a chance like that. The money is quicker and better because people only stay in your place for 3 days, sometime a week, month, or whenever they want to come over. and you can rent your place, and most people are doing it now because it's a business. But there's still plenty of properties that are undeveloped in the country could be turning into something out of the imaginary. You don't know what can happen. You just got to try, like the caller said. So I think that Freeport, Andres, if the government was concerned about the housing issue in the country, we have land available on the family islands that can easily be redeveloped at a cheap price. Make sure that it's Crown land. The Prime Minister's in charge of the Crown land, so he can make this decision. And this shouldn't even be a difficult decision for him, because if he could get at least 100,000 people to leave New Providence, we see a shift in our country's directory. Okay? So, I'm going to read something. I want to read what... Okay. So, we're also talking about the high price of food in the country. Okay? Government has to find a way on how they're going to tackle this as well. A jug of water now is like $2.50 in the shop. Okay? I can remember a loaf of bread now is close to $4. $5. I can remember when bread was 7 cents by Purity Bakery. I can remember when bread was 10 cents by Purity Bakery. I can remember when bread was 12 cents by Purity Bakery. Then it gone up to 17 cents. Then to 21 cents. Okay? Then it gone up from there to 37 cents. Then it gone up to 67 cents. Then it gone to 99 cents. Okay, y'all remember that? Y'all can remember when bread was like 7 cents? A large loaf of bread from Purity Bakery was 7 cents, people, 30 years ago. Now, a loaf of bread now is about $4 or $5. Cartoon egg in the store now is like $5, $6, $8. This is ridiculous. Why we got to be importing eggs in the country? And these eggs are not really no natural eggs. We had Gladstone Farm there. We have Abaco Farms there. And some of the industries that the gentleman who called in a few minutes ago, this is the next suggestion. Why not be growing our own eggs and growing our own chicken? This could be an industry for the young kids. You know, they could go to the family island and here as well on a field trip as students, and it could be introduced to the pottery industry. Because the egg business is a big business, but not only that, you're getting healthy eggs. And you can also do some of the chicken. You know, like I said, egg is more $6, $7. You know, for a dozen. Can of tuna now, $2. Corned beef, $4 something. You know, it's crazy. You know, we ain't have no win. Let me see. Let me see if I can find it. In my second place. Where Rupert Roberts going? I guess I had Rupert Roberts here. Rupert Roberts there. And it's at Rupert Roberts. Something here about Rupert Roberts with the food industry. Come on, man. I get his marker. 1 second. Come on, come on. I think I find it right now. So things are very expensive in the country for the Bahamas. You know, what the Prime Minister suggests, you know, and all his good intentions, but I think he dropped the ball when he said that, because he's supposed to know better. Come on, man. I just had Rupert Roberts here. Just look at me right in the face. And all right, let me see. No? But anyway, the cost of living is high in the country, and we don't know when. Just trying to find a thing about Rupert Roberts. Come on, man. Yeah. So I would encourage the Prime Minister, to tell his MPs to go in their communities and see what abandoned houses, abandoned lots in the country, and see how they could turn it into low-cost homes or payment plan. Come on, man, I really want to read the thing with Rupert Roberts. I'm going to look one more time. Call us. Sorry about that. I'm sure I got it, yeah, man. Let's see what he has to say. Nope. Yeah. Let me just mention this. Okay, found it. It's in the Nassau Guardian. Sorry about that, people. Cost of living, rise, shocking. But major grocery store says holiday prices will be stable. Pointing to the shocking cost of living prices as reflected in the recent University of the Bahamas study, Super Value's owner Rupert Roberts said buyers are being mandated to carefully examine international market in a bid to keep the cost of current prices at the very least. So Mr. Davis is doing, this is him doing what he has to do, the best that he could do, but he still could do more. But these are the steps that are in the right direction. But it's a difficult task, because I tell you already, even if you want to drop the food prices low in the country, we import so much. But if we grow our own fruits, grow our own vegetables, harvest our fish, we can see a big turnaround when it comes to how we can turn the cost of living around. We are buying tilapia, people. Tilapia is being sold in the restaurants and local stores. Tilapia. We have snappers, grouper, a variety of different fish. Why we got up tilapia? Tilapia is the delicacy. Why are we running away from our natural fishes to go get a freshwater fish, even though they're growing here as well? My friend, them, the Melis, them has their own tilapia on their farm that they grow themselves, but they are surrounded by sea. So why is tilapia on the menu? I don't understand. We get so sophisticated and turn into a stone jungle that we forget that if your gas go, right, it's like this. We forget now, we. When the COVID-19 was around, the hurricane, and all power get knocked out, people were buying canned gas. So when the canned gas that ran out, what you were going to do? So with no current, no canned gas. So me, you know what they're going to do? I said, okay. I go and grab an old tire rim. I go and put my coconut box in that. I break my dry sticks. I get one thingamajig old baker. The tray which you put the bread on. I put that as my holder. And I sit down and I do my steamed fish and my white rice. Now, it was a lot of smoke now, but trust me, eh? Why is everyone looking to buy canned gas or didn't know what to do because the current off? I was outside smoking and people passing. They said, what you doing? I said, cooking. They said, what, you cooking? I said, when they look, I forget all about that. I said, Charlie, I'm going to do that right now. No, so we just forget. You know, we just forget and we need to get back to our basic. So I'm going to read the show with them. What Rupert Roberts said? He says, yeah. He says, meaning there's been a mandate to carefully examine international markets in the bid to keep current prices at its very least. Super Value buyers told The Guardian the holiday seasons and the new year prices are expected to remain stable, but customers are being urged to give up their love affair with popular brands, which have cons- consistently risen in cost every quarter due to manufacturers passing on increases. So I guess this is what the Prime Minister is talking about as well, what we can be misinterpreting. He's saying that certain products coming to the country are a little bit expensive. If you know a little bit expensive, don't go and purchase it. No, he could purchase it, but it makes some sense in some scenario, even though it sounds, you know, but it makes sense because there are products coming to the country that are overpriced, you know. So, okay, speaking after he was contacted, Robert said, I think that we are in hard times. 4,000 a month 4 years ago and 10,000 today to feed a family. That's shocking. It was 4,000 a month, 4 years ago. Now today it's 10,000. That's because the cost of living has gone up. And the government has to find a way to get the cost of living down. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scoogey.
Yeah, go ahead.
What's happening? Everything good?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I can make this quick, but Uber drivers them shouldn't be talking, man, because every year they put up their ticket. Everybody, Charlie drivers are to sit on the ground and get here, man, because some of these prices and the up they going up is ridiculous, man.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. You understand? But listen, this GNN, I saw something that I have never seen in my 62 years by a political potential party. And I was very impressed with that tonight, Scrooge. I must say this. The COI stepping up their game. Now, you know, we calling them a bunch of BSs and whatever people say about them, right?
Mm-hmm.
But tonight, the candidate for Freetown get my attention with what she's doing.
Mm.
And if that's the template for the rest of the constituencies they have, they get my vote. Because I watch her put a brand new van going to get the elderly out of her constituency, Freetown, with the virus labeled Freetown, elderly, and say they taking their elderly to their appointments, the food store, the hospital, wherever they need to go. Now, I have never, Scrooge, seen no political party do nothing like that.
Wow.
Not for the people in their constituency.
Yes.
And I tell the nation, I am impressed with that.
Wow.
Because I might need one of them by myself
to
get to the hospital.
Yes, sir.
Or to get on my appointment.
Yes, sir. Yeah, we need people like that who are concerned about the community. She's putting in the work even before she's get elected. She's showing the people what she's all about.
What you're all about.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, you got a heart for the people. Because to come up with an idea like that takes heart. Because, you know, LED.
I tell you, she's saying it's a free ride. So, you know, the vehicle got to be maintained. You have to put gas in it. Somebody doing something. And if that's a template for what the COI could do for the majority of their constituency, they get my vote.
Yes,
thanks,
sir,
for taking my call.
That's no problem. Fine. Yeah, I think when you talk the good news about persons out there, part of organization, you know, giving back. You know, like I said, you know, there are people out there who will help. You know, and they have a heart. Some are just looking to do things for clout, but there are people out there who want to do good. And if given an opportunity, some will do good. You know, we can't say everyone, you know, it's the same, you know. It might seem that way, but there are people out there with good intention. In this case, you know, her going up, picking up the elderly, you know, why she's not even in opposition, just wiving to be considered to be the next candidate or to be the next government, that is a good sign, because if she's on the ground working now, why she is not even in opposition, it shows you that she ran into this to really make a difference, because she's putting in the work. Okay, so I want to give her credit and to keep up the good work, you know. Yeah. And, you know, the gentleman talking about Rupert Roberts, you know, yeah. The thing is, what surprised me most, what is the thing was going on last week where they say you could pay $45, if you spend $45, they give free shipping to whatever you purchase as long as you spend $45, okay, it's a company. And I saw the response from the Chamber of Commerce saying that it would be a threat to the courier countries, car companies in the Bahamas, you know, because now if you spend Amazon, link the DLC, if you spend $45, They would do free shipping here to the country. That's a plus for us. So I want to encourage Bahamian people to take advantage of this also. You know, the cost of living is a hike. But if you could order your stuff on the Amazon, okay, like a grocery and et cetera, and you could get it back here, you know, you're not paying nothing to get it back here. That's a plus. You know, instead of shopping directly at Rupert Roberts, I'm not trying to cut him out nothing. But if you look at the merchandise that is on the Rupert Roberts shelf and you will go travel to America, you would see a box of Thai would cost him like anywhere from between $12, right? But only cost like $3 in the States or two something. Or a pair of tennis that you see in one of the tennis shows like Huffers and Sons, you'd see like for $160 or $200. You go inside the store in America, they'd be like $60, $70. You understand? So take advantage of the opportunity. You understand, Bahamian? Buy wholesale. Your stuff could come directly to you. So there's a lot of options. We can take this next call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City.
Hey, Scrooge.
Hey, good night.
Yeah, I'm calling back. What I want to say, right? The Bahamian people, business people, some of them are not stable. They need to be stable. You know?
I agree.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, and he made a good point. Stability means that if they start the business, you don't want them to crumble. What we need to understand is that, let me just read something. Many people would go in business, but they can't keep up with their clients, or sometimes their clients come slow. It's a reason for that, because we're not tapping the market we're supposed to tap into. Let me give you a prime example. Let me just read something here. Okay, I have a Rachel, sorry. Okay. Yeah, I was reading about this gentleman, he owns a business downtown, and he is saying that 80% of the customers that come to his restaurant are natives and 20% are tourists, right? But yet still he is right there across from Atlantis Hotel. And he is encouraging that the cruise ship liners allow for the tourists to come over off the ship, because 50% of the tourists that comes to the Bahamas stays on the ship. So he is saying that we need to find innovative ways to get the tourists to come from off the ship to shop to the local restaurants and local bars. Okay, let me see if I can find his name.
Have it right here.
All right. Yeah. So, you need sustainable clientele in order to have a good business. So, if we have 9 million visitors coming to our shore, which is record-breaking, okay? It's estimated. And if you have a business and you have 9 million visitors coming in, you have 50% out of that 9 million is not coming off the cruise ship. Why? Because there's no attraction. Okay, they're not given the right information on where to go. And probably there ain't nowhere to go that excites them, because, you know, they're seeing the same thing as they travel out of Caribbean countries. But if we could find a way on how we can get that 50% to come off the ship, we'd see a drastic change. Because what happens is this. The Chinese makes their money in a poor neighborhood. The neighborhood is rich. Each individual is poor because, you know, we're living under $10,000 a year. But collectively, so the Chinese put their convenience stores in the heart of the inner city community where a high population of Bahamians live, mixed with Haitian national and other walks of life. And what they understand is that by putting this Chinese here, They put everything that you need. They put water. They put sodas. They put beers. They put meat. They might even have their own restaurant. So they have three or four different businesses in one. And the neighboring community, even though you're poor, but if everyone is spending at a particular time or day, just say in one day, they're seeing like 200, 300 customers. In a year time, that could be anywhere from $5 to $10 million, but they accumulate right there. Listen, people, listen how serious this is. Right there in that same small community spot. Those Chinese you see, they could be making anywhere from $2 to $3 million to $5 million a year. Why? Because they have customers, okay, coming to them on a regular basis from these inner-city corners and going to them and spend their money, whether it's a dollar, whether it's 50 cents, whether it's $7 for a snack or $10 for this. All that is accumulated. And when you have a high volume of tourists coming into your country, you got to find a way on how you could sustain that. So the tourists to me are not tourists, they are customers. So we got to find a way on how we could turn that into the industry for us to understand their customers. Because the money that you see, that you have in your pocket, it comes from the tourism industry. Okay? The money that we spend to the Chinese or we receive comes from the tourism industry because that's our number one industry. You're going to take this next call. Go ahead, caller. Good night.
Hey, good night. How you doing, Scott?
I'm fine.
All right, cool. Good night to the nation, all of the listeners. You made a comment, I thought I should make a comment or two on, when you said you started to speak about the Chinese.
Yes.
And what they've discovered. What I want to add is what the Chinese have walked into and now realize through their many decades of experience operating in the inner city communities and throughout, is that they can put a business in these communities across the country or across the Providence, Nassau, and fully stock it because the Haymans don't support the Haymans, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
The Haymans do not support the Haymans, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
Because there's a rat race that takes place in the country, which the politicians enjoy, which bottom feeders and bottom beggars get a little benefit from, that the politicians enjoy, and there's a repeating of that cycle, that rat race cycle with the Haymans in the country, which gives way and makes it quite easy for anyone to succeed outside of the Haymans in our own country.
Wow.
And it wasn't like that. It wasn't always this way. But this day and age of the Haymans is a completely different mindset than the behemoths of the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s.
Yes.
Scrooge.
Yes.
I want to make an observation.
Go ahead.
Yes, Guardian played it, I presume, all day today. But I didn't participate in any show today. And so I'm led to reveal the thoughts on your show, Scrooge.
Go ahead.
It's regarding Gawen Bo. You familiar with him?
Yeah, I saw it in the news, but go ahead.
Okay. Gawen Bo made a point that it would be foolhardy for the government to look at raising the minimum wage without increasing productivity, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
He pretty much didn't see the case for the raising of the minimum wage for the Haymans in the country, right?
Yes, sir.
And can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you. I agree, Antoine.
And so this is information for the government because quite frankly, Scrooge.
Yes, sir.
I wonder many a times who these people are operating in the PRP government because I honestly don't recognize them.
They're all right. For their selfie.
Right.
They look like they're all for the selfie, not concerned about...
I don't recognize these people, quite frankly.
I've been hearing a lot of that lately.
Right? And I'm one who is in the trenches, you know. You know, I talk about being in the trenches and in the community and, you know, being one of the backbone of the community.
Yes, sir.
I'm in the trenches in the PLP. Been in the trenches. Never left the trenches.
Yes, so you
I
know.
Just joined the trenches like most of these followers who... parading around.
No, you campaign for them. The you've been campaigning for them a little while, Anton. Is you
I've
really?
I've been in the trenches my entire life.
Yes, sir.
Right? And in particular with the Prime Minister and his wife. Right? And frankly speaking, I don't recognize a lot of these people in office today. And anyway, to get back to Gowan Bo's comment, I made a note or two. So I'll just read it quickly. Gowan Bo's point of view, while valid, is but one point of view in the entire consideration. Sometimes as a people, Scrooge, we get so caught up looking at the one speck on the paper that we miss the entire picture, right? We don't get to see the small nor the big picture because we're so focused on that one speck, right? The business community, as it relates to cost increases for conducting business, passes all of its costs onto the end consumers. Wow. That's always been the case. Always been the case. You with me, Scrooge?
I'm listening. Yes, sir.
The business community do not lose. If there is an increase in cost, they absorb that and push that right back on their clients. You agree with that, Scrooge?
I agree with you.
And so no matter how the cookie crumbles, the business community always passes its cost on to the end consumers. Even while there are considerations of pricing oneself out of the market, there is the reality of real competition in our markets. And you started to touch on it as it relates to Amazon. The way our country has been set up, it's almost as though you just grab a handful of dirt or sand and just throw it to the wall, and whatever sticks is what goes. Mm. No real structure, no real planning, no real execution, except for the original set of cabinets of the Bahamas, who was thinking short, medium, and long-term plan. Who had a real plan and was executing according to that plan? Who we are still living off of what they put in place today, rather than advancing and developing new things for the benefit of the country. I don't recognize these people in the government today.
Let me say greedy.
Many of them have sour attitudes. Many of them shouldn't be in parliament. Many of them aren't about advancing the good of the nation, and the Prime Minister isn't doing what he needs to do to address them. You hear me, Scrooge?
I'm hearing this noise in the market. That's why I said what I said earlier.
The Prime Minister is not doing what is necessary to put that clean face back on the PLP that we all fought for, including myself.
Yes. The introduction to the Free
National
Movement.
He isn't doing what he needs to do to bring that change and keep that change. And so, we can have a Mount Everest of a time climbing, going back to the people.
You get that right. They're starting to talk now, Antonio. You're lying. They're starting to talk.
A Mount Everest of a time, Scrooge.
I'm starting.
Because, see, when you're in opposition, Scrooge, you could beat up your mouth and say anything.
That's right.
Come with a real plan with details and specifics. Then you have the attention of someone like me. Don't just come saying, oh, when you get in office, we can do this. Anybody can say that, man. Come with a real plan.
And execute it.
Communicate that plan and provide the details of exactly how you will accomplish that plan. That's the difference with leaders.
Yes.
That's the difference with people with vision, Scrooge. We were a part of that cycle as an opposition going into the 2021 election.
All that changed now.
Far off from that, Scrooge.
I'll be handed
far
now.
Off.
No, I don't. Let me just say something real quick. I was just by Fish Fry, you know. I used to go around. I was by Fish Fry. I think it was last week, Friday or Thursday, whenever they had the PLP meet and greet, when they had the stalls out there. It was fascinating to see that it wasn't no crowd there. I'm watching there. I'm people with the Fish Fry, but people were not even walking over there to the thing. I'm so Anton, what you're saying, it's an indication of what's about to come.
Scrooge, listen now.
No disrespect. I was out there, and I see no crowd over there. It was just like party supporters, but individuals were not like. Crowds of beamers were not out there, so this is an indication of what you're talking about right now.
You're not wrong, Scrooge. You are not wrong.
I was surprised.
And anyone in the PLP who is trying to sell the photos that I saw going around of that fair as a crowd attending a PLP event.
That was no crowd out there.
It's desperate.
Yeah, they're desperate. No crowd was out there. I say that.
It's desperate.
I was out there.
Because I know what. I know what a mega crowd looks like.
You couldn't walk there.
Supporting the PLP.
You couldn't even walk there.
I know what a crowd looks like, Scrooge, where you can't see the ground.
Yes. You couldn't see no one out there.
So much people.
They just were party supporters there. People who would just get their hands full of cake.
You understand what I'm saying, Scrooge?
Yes.
Scrooge, you know, too much bottom feeders.
Yeah.
Too much bottom feeders, Scrooge.
Yes.
Too much opportunists and bottom feeders.
Yes.
Real talk. I can end with this note right here.
Go ahead, sir.
On the flip side, so what I'm saying about what Garvin Bo spoke to is this. And this all this information is for the government of the Bahamas, the PLP, who I don't recognize. I don't know who you all are. However, on the flip side of the equation is this reality. Bahamians pay the increases of cost of survival in the Bahamas without proper, without fair, without sustainable remunerations on all levels. So how could it be fair to say to the government on one hand that it's foolhardy to pursue an increase in salary for Bahamians to improve their lives, but on the other hand, Bahamians are putting every cost increase the business community puts on them. Where's the balance?
There's no balance.
Where's the balance, Scrooge? and see, this Bahamians have been slaughtered for decades in this country without any balance or any fight back from the government on behalf of the people, Scrooge. I'm sick and tired of this nonsense. Thank you for the opportunity, Scrooge.
Thank you, Anton, for expressing yourself. I'd just like to say this again. I was out there, and the crowd wasn't out there. You know, when you have these PLP events and Free National Movement events, we're not talking about the Free National Movement right now. It seems the momentum right now is switching in favor of Michael Pintard. It seems that way because, like I said, I was out there. I just was like a regular citizen, just walking and observing. Ronnie Moncur was out there. So I just walk and I check it out for a little bit. And the minute I look around, it's just party members and people who, special privileged people, but regular Bahamian, sediments of Bahamian people are kind of getting disgruntled about the situation that's happening in the country, and that's poverty. Housing. You need to address it. Small business, you need to address it. Increasing minimum wage, we need to find a way how we can increase it. So that's what Anton was referring to. Governor Bo talking about we don't need increase. I don't know what he is talking about. You know, so like again, this is going to be a tough one. Look like they giving the momentum to the Free National Movement. So Michael Pintard. Whatever you're doing, continue to do. That's all I can say. If the MPs themselves, like Anton is talking about, it's not going to help the Prime Minister win the next government, means that each MP in each constituency supposed to be pleasing the people, not getting the people disgruntled. And a lot of people are disgruntled in the party, and what that leads to self-destruction. So all I can say is this. Jess, continue to do what you have to do to try to survive. And if you have the opportunity to gain some type of advantage to push yourself forward, I would just say go for it. If you have a chance, just go for it. Because right now, it's kind of rough and tough in the country. So I'm your host, Valentino Brown, a.k.a. Scoochie or Scrooge, host of the talk show Inside Inner City. And we'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Why I from Pintard, bro? Pintard, I say up and running.
Taliban say my shabai don't ever give in. 7 years of farming, watch the crops them come in. Today see a humble thing, the lion sleeping. But they ain't for no reason, reason. Only God and I believe in, living. Watch them only passion for a season, season. God bless, I gon' weed them, weed them.